This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Constance, what would be the motive to fake a moon landing?
The theory is that there was a space race, and they wanted it to look like the U.S. had made it there first, frankly speaking. That is thought to have been the motive behind, you know, them faking it.
Right, but who believes the Russians would have been stupid enough to accept that? If we faked it, the Russians, I think, were quite smart enough. They're scientists to have exposed it.
Right, right. I'd just like to tell people to go to the NASA website. You can look up transcripts. They recorded everything from, you know, what the crew was saying when they were, you know, on the way to the moon, on the moon. And then there are thousands of pages worth of documentation. That's a huge hoax, you know, to go from the trying to fake all of the filming of each of these missions to even down to the, you know, faking transcripts. It's just ridiculous to me.
I mean, imagine building the Saturn V rocket.
Right.
It's huge.
Right, right.
You know, and cost millions and millions of dollars. I mean, it just makes no sense to me that they would go to that much effort to fake something when about the same amount of effort they could actually do it, you know? Right. Because, I mean, there's no question that the rocket took off, right? You know, lots of people were there and saw it. I mean, I was young enough at the time to remember watching the launches. And in those days, you know, they had walls of televisions. And they were, some of them were, you know, the latest and greatest. And there they were, taking off in this immense rocket. And it just fascinated me. And I followed it for years. And I just don't believe it was faked at all. But, you know, Gene, you got to admit, the effects in 2001 Space Odyssey, and that was done in 68, they were pretty good. You know, they had the pictures of the moon and, you know, the big space wheel and even the craft, even the craft that was flying across the lunar surface looks pretty real. You can even see people moving around in it. They did a pretty good job of that one.
In terms of movie special effects, if they put money into it, they would have done it, like the movie Forbidden Planet. Nothing to do about moon exploration. But I think in that particular case, they spent money and they did a credible job. Possibly the most credible job of the 50s was Earth versus the Flying Saucers. Stop motion animation from Ray Harryhausen.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one for sure. That was one of my favorites. Something that a lot of people don't know about, too, is that when you get looking into this, when the space race ended, a lot of that stuff was just mothballed. And it's quite tragic because people, when they were going through the buildings and stuff that they used for the administration and so on, they found just cardboard boxes with stuff from the moon missions just kind of piled in a corner and left there because they ran out of money and they didn't have anywhere to put it. So they just kind of all, you know, went on to different jobs, and a lot of it deteriorated. And so they don't really know where a lot of those films came from, but they do know that they did take films in production-type studios as part of their training exercises, and they did filming out by the Barringer meteorite crater as well, which looks very moon-like out there. So, I mean, it would be real easy for, a conspiracy theorist to grab hold of some of that footage, which was in no way intended to deceive anybody, and then claim, well, look, you know, it's obviously fake.
It really gives a disservice to all of those people that worked so hard on those missions and to get them up there. And it also explains to me, I mean, I'm not a scientist or a technician, but we've heard that some of the technology of how to get men back to the moon was even lost. Because they, you know, it's just a mess.
Well, I think they could do it fairly easily today if they wanted to. It's a question of whether or not they really wanted to. Now, going back a little bit into our previous segment, you had suggested that, well, maybe there was other elements of their mission that was covered up. Say that there were films taken of things that were up there, they saw different things. That I might be tempted to think is possible. I don't necessarily think that they are telling us everything about the missions. I think maybe some of the astronauts did see some unusual things, and that maybe they do have pictures of some unusual things.
There have been people that, you know, have come forward and said that they saw pictures of buildings on the moon. They saw them, but they were not published. They were not presented to the public, but that they saw them. For those that they knew had seen these pictures, you know, they hushed them up, you know, and the astronauts too. But this is alleged, you know, like I said, I don't know for sure that they told the astronauts not to talk, but of course, it certainly appears that way. I mean, we've got whistleblowers that came forth. And we've got other people. Then there's this one gentleman that's, you know, still out there. His name is L. Baez. And he's a professor. I'm forgetting at what university. And he was working with the astronauts during that period. And he was saying, yeah, they saw lights. And no, there's just no way they were natural. And he said there are secrets that were kept from the public, and everything hasn't been told to the public, he stated. You know, there are people that said there's been a cover-up, but I don't think everything has. For example, there's one picture where one of those pre-missions, I can't remember, I get them a little confused, if it was Apollo 9 or 10 had gone up, Apollo 10, I think it was. They took a picture of a UFO flying around the moon, and they didn't have the sophisticated methods of covering up things in photos that we do today, so they tried to use duct tape. So you can see the moon, these pictures of the moon, and then there's one that kind of slipped through where you can see that UFO, and you can also see what appears to be duct tape in one of the pictures. So, but that's right there. On the website. So, and there's a theory where Apollo. Okay, so the Apollo 20 hoax was created from by this person who said he was an astronaut and he had gone up with a Russian cosmonaut to look at what was supposed to be a ancient spaceship. That's what they were saying that NASA thought they had found. What's interesting about that hoax, in going back to the astronauts and things being covered up, what's interesting is that I feel like this thing wasn't covered up. If you go back to, I believe it's Apollo 13, and it is in the book, that they had discovered indeed what they thought looked to be a ancient spacecraft. And that was mentioned, and that if you look at the pictures on the website, you can see this thing. It looks like a cigar-shaped kind of a craft. And so my point was, that wasn't covered up. It's there. You know, you can see it. So everything wasn't covered up. That's what the whole Apollo 20 hoax was based off of, them going to find this thing that was in the picture that was taken by, I think it was Apollo 13, right? Couldn't have been 13. Apollo, I'm sorry, one of the missions.
Well, that's so interesting because right now I'm watching the Dark Skies series by Bryce Zabel, who's a guest we've had on a number of times. I've never had a chance to see the whole series. I'm just into it far enough now where that's exactly what they're talking about doing.
Hey, I want to mention that Constance will return on After the Paracast this week. After the Paracast is an exclusive podcast available only to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. To get more information about the Paracast Plus, please point your browser to the Paracast.plus, theparacast.plus. We also offer this show free of the network ads. And for those who subscribe to 5 years or a lifetime, we're still offering the free coupon code for The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary with 3 hours of extra material, theparacast.plus. Paracast.plus. Constance Victoria Briggs, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We are exploring lunar mysteries, whether the moon itself may have been a spaceship, not that the moon landing could have been faked, whether there are lunar mysteries. And a big deal was made in the early days of the UFO field by Major Keogh and others about the dark side of the moon. So where do those mysteries stand?
You know, they've done some looking at the dark side of the moon. They haven't, of course, it's huge. They haven't seen everything. Researchers have thought that there may be bases back there, that there may be more ruins back there, which we didn't talk about ruins yet, but there may be things going on back there that we can't see, and that's why the moon is tidal locked. So far, they have not found any bases, but like I said, it's as large as the United States, so they have a ways to go. So we really don't know exactly what's back there, all of what's back there.
Also, you would think if they did find something there, we'd be the last to know.
We'd be the last to know. They're not going to want to tell us. They don't want, I mean, we're being visited every day. There are UFOs all over the place, and they're still denying that. Can you imagine them saying that there is an alien base on the moon? And no, that wouldn't go well. We'd be the last. But I think we're getting closer. You know, I think that people's minds are opening a little bit to the idea that maybe we're not alone and they're out there. So who knows? In time, they may let us know what they find. And there are other governments going up too. And I don't think necessarily that they're going to be as close-mouthed as we have been. By the way, in the 50s, I feel like in the 50s, you know, when the whole UFO craze started, I mean, they've always been with us, but there were more, it seems, that appeared at that time. They were not as hush-hush about it as we are now.
Oh, by the way, another, I don't know if we call them a lunar movie serial called Zombies of the Stratosphere from 1952. And the reason I mention it is because mm-hmm. it's one of the early films featuring Leonard Nimoy as a character called Narab.
No kidding. No, I didn't watch any of those.
Those things were churned out by the B-movie division of Hollywood Studios. It wasn't like today you do a comic book or sci-fi movie, and it's small change is $300 million for it. Small change.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
If you spend $1 million on a 12-chapter serial, that was a lot.
Do you think that during that period of time, perhaps, to me, I think so, that was just the beginning of getting us prepared for what we have come to call first contact, to start opening people's minds to the idea that there could be beings on the moon, there could be beings on Mars, there could be beings, you know, ETs right here on Earth, just little at a time, year by year, just getting us ready for what looks to be around the corner of us, you know, finally having some confirmation that there are extraterrestrials out there and or with us.
I call that gradual disclosure that you get people, as you say, accustomed to. Like, for example, scientists discover more and more planets that possibly have Earth-like conditions, Goldilocks planets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we see the government's taking UFOs more seriously. We have the Pentagon UAP Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow that at all, I should point out here, they're already hinting that the six-month report that was in the stimulus package, not the one passed by President Biden, but the one by his predecessor at the end of 2020, that would take us to June of 2021.
Right.
That might be late.
Yes. I actually did post something on Facebook. I have a Constance Victoria Briggs page where I'm posting about UFOs and information. And yeah, it's going to be delayed. I don't know how long. I didn't read. There was no date given, but I'm hoping it won't be too long. And I'm just, you know, at this point, I'm really happy that they're just even having the conversation. But I'm not shocked that they're postponing this. You know.
Well, the thing to bear in mind too is that there is nothing in that law, I don't think, that penalizes the Pentagon. If they're late, they can say, well, we're still working on it. Goodbye. Call us in 6 months. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you're right.
Well,
we
can bring public pressure on them to say something and on our, you know, because
yeah,
they said you've got to
do it. It's not like the public pressure for the Snyder cut of Justice League. I don't think there's ever been enough pressure for UFOs for disclosure. It's never existed. So, yeah, there's interest in the subject. There are deliberate efforts being made to look into it. But I don't think there's enough public pressure. I think most people regard UFOs as a matter of entertainment. And as I said, that works for a movie. Again, the public demanded the quote-unquote Snyder cut of the movie Justice League. And they did it. And, of course, it's turning out to be something that was really useful because millions of people have watched that. But when you come to something like this, people are not that interested in UFOs except as entertainment. There aren't enough of us to really get anything done.
Well, that's because they don't know. They don't know that there really is something going on. So I have two groups of people in my life. I have the UFO people, and I have what I call the mainstream people, my mainstream friends. And they are clueless. Until I started talking about this publicly, you know, they thought it was a matter of entertainment. But now, when I talk to them, and I've been talking to them about the moon mysteries, and I've been talking to them about contactees and UFO people that I know have seen UFOs, I tell them, you know, they're out there. Then they kind of perk up and they're interested. But if it doesn't come across their path in life, they're not going to necessarily to think much about it. They have to be educated. So I've got a lot of people. I have these pages on Facebook. I mean, it's not tons of people. I just started them. But, you know, I'm finding people that I've never met before joining this page, and then people that I never would have thought that I know coming on and watching, and they're saying, you know, I want to learn more. And, you know, you have to get the word out. And I think that is happening. Like the crop circles, for example. I just cannot imagine why we are not having town hall meetings about crop circles. You know, how can people think they're a hoax or a joke or entertainment? They're not. Something is making these huge images on Earth. But until you talk, say it like that, or you know, bring it to their attention, or you tell them, no, there's no way it could have been a hoax because they're made like this, blah, blah, blah. Then they kind of sit up and take notice. And I think that people need to pay attention before something seriously does happen, before we do have what they're calling first contact. I think first contact has happened, and it doesn't have to be a spaceship landing on, on land saying, you know, take me to your leader. I think that obviously people are being visited all the time, but they want this first contact to happen.
Actually, their greeting will be Klaatu Barada Nikto. The book, The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries, the author Constance Victoria Briggs with Jean and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has set another record for COVID vaccinations, administering more than 4 million shots on Friday. The CDC says that more than 59 million Americans have been fully vaccinated against the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci says that he believes those who are fully vaccinated may not transmit the virus if infected and may no longer need to wear a mask. But the White House's chief medical advisor tells Fox News that he still recommends that those who are vaccinated keep masking up as a precaution until there's definitive data available.
But there are studies that are coming online now that are going to definitively prove that.
And that's the reason why we say when that happens, we'll pull back on the recommendation of saying people who are vaccinated should continue to wear masks. It's very likely that they're not infective. But just to be sure and just to be cautious, you want to be conservative on the side of saying, wait till we get data where we can definitively prove that.
This is USA Radio News. The Food and Drug Administration has authorized two changes to Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine that can provide extra doses from each vial. Wendy King reports from the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau.
The FDA is authorizing some changes that are expected to boost coronavirus vaccine supply and speed up the vaccination effort. Moderna says it will now start shipping 15-dose vials of its vaccine soon after showing the FDA different amounts of vaccine can be extracted from each vial using different types of syringes. The original vials were designed for 10 doses, and the FDA says providers can actually get 11 out of those vials. It's now sending new instructions to healthcare workers.
And traffic is now flowing normally through the Suez Canal, nearly 2 weeks after it was blocked by a massive container ship. The Suez Canal Authority says the final 61 ships that were backed up by the grounding of the Ever Given passed through the canal on Saturday, the last of more than 400 vessels that were held up in the naval traffic jam. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, what I was doing there was repeating a line from the movie They Either Stood Still, the original one with Michael Rennie's glancing at the alien. And the reason I bring that up is because remember the early part of the movie, where the military surrounds this flying saucer. And the first thing that happens is when Klaatu makes a suspicious move, he reaches into his shirt pocket or something, and they shoot him. And I think if I was E.T., I would very seriously take the possibility that somebody would shoot us by mistake. In fact, there was a book out some years back called Shoot 'Em Down about Earthlings firing after UFOs.
Well, I mean, they did that back in the, you know, in the 40s and 50s. There was a shoot down order. But I mean, now we're getting into UFOs, which are kind of maybe related in aliens, which is pretty interesting. But, and you're absolutely right, Constance, that back in the 40s and 50s, people were more open-minded about it. And it was only after the Robertson panel and their whole agenda to ridicule people officially, which was part of a CIA thing, that it started to become a taboo subject amongst academics and so on. You're absolutely right. But you still find people today who have seen them for themselves and know that they're real. They have had real experiences. There's a lot of us out here who know that it's not just entertainment. Let's also go back to moon mysteries. Now, you know, moon mysteries are kind of related to extraterrestrial visitation, but not necessarily in all cases. And in one of our previous segments there, we started talking a bit about some of the experiences of the Apollo astronauts. Can you give us a couple of examples of those?
So basically, when it comes to the Apollo astronauts missions, all of the missions had an experience. They saw strange lights on the way to the moon, or they experienced something on the moon. I hate to start with Apollo 11 because there's just so much to it, but I, you know, it makes more sense. There are mysterious and sometimes even frightening, you know, stories surrounding, you know, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin once they reached the surface. You both know, I suppose, about the famous of them possibly seeing ETs on the moon. And there's the first story is, on the way to the moon, the three astronauts saw an L-shaped object that they couldn't place. They, you know, that kind of freaked them out a little bit. They couldn't understand what it was. They didn't want to sound alarmed, and they tried to decide what to do. So they ended up calling, you know, NASA or Houston and said, you know, we're seeing this thing. What could it be? And Houston, you know, how far away, you know, a Saturn V, you know, rocket, the pieces from it. And Houston is like, well, you know, it's about 6,000 miles away. The last thing that they said about it was, you know, we're going to go with that. That's what we saw. If you listen to Mr. Aldrin talk about it, he'll say it was a piece, you know, of the equipment. But there are some people that are in doubt that that's what they saw on the way to the moon as far as that goes. So that's a mystery.
They were talking about, if I'm remembering this correctly, you're probably talking about what they thought might have been a section of the Saturn booster.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that was like 6,000
miles
away.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So they're never going to say, oh, well, you know, they were followed by a UFO. Once they reached, the two astronauts reached the surface of the moon, the story is, you know, they stepped onto the moon and they were a little freaked out again because, boom, here they are supposedly seeing some kind of craft sitting on the crater of the moon. And so the story is that these Armstrong went on a private line to a medical line, and they were able to contact Houston. You know, the audience couldn't see or hear what they were, you know, what was going on. So they're saying, you know, there are ships, they're sitting there at the crater. That's the story. And some radio ham hacks, I don't know, picked up the message, and that, and then it became public. You know, they really saw something out there on the crater, and then it is said to have been a story that, yeah, you know, going around NASA that, yeah, those astronauts really did see something. There was one gentleman, let's see, I have it here. His name was Maurice Chatelain, and he was a former NASA communications engineer. Some people question that because, of course, they would, because they have to question everything that may validate something. But anyway, he wrote in his book, moments after Armstrong stepped down the ladder to set foot on the moon, two UFOs hovered overhead. Another gentleman, Brad Steiger, who, you know, you probably know, who wrote Visitors from Other Worlds, said that Dr. Sergei Bosich witnessed the Russians observing the Apollo 11 moon landing, and he said, in his opinion, the two UFOs appeared ready to assist you as astronauts in case anything should go wrong with the landing. Once the module appeared to be securely settled on the lunar surface, you know, they got out, and oh, the alien spacecraft flew away.
Brad Steiger was a close friend of the show.
Oh,
he's
wow.
no longer with us.
Yeah.
Jerry Steiger's no longer with us. But the two original guests on the PowerCast in 2006, Jim Moseley and Brad Steiger. Continue, please, Constance.
So, you know, that's the basic... there was one more story that one of the astronauts actually saw an extraterrestrial, not just these ships. So we don't have any concrete proof, but this has been flying around this story for years. It's not news to most to UFO followers, but for new people, you know, I tell you, no, they've never heard it, and they're like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, the moon is just a rock. There's nothing going on up there. So Apollo 12 reported seeing two bright lights, flashing lights that were pacing the Saturn V as it was taking off. And also the Houston reported seeing those. And I believe that the Soviets had also had that on when they wrote that they had seen something too. Apollo 13, we know, had its problems. It, was left crippled. But there is a story that this crew allegedly received a communication from an ET spacecraft instructing them on how to safely return to Earth. But that's just a rumor. I need to back up to Apollo 10, though, because this is really interesting. So Apollo 10 was a rehearsal mission for Apollo 11 that would take men to walk on the moon. So Apollo 10 had to go as far as they could, without landing landing guys on the surface to walk on the moon. But they ran into a problem. They got stuck out there. It was a technical problem, and they couldn't move. At the astronauts became stuck in space, and they had a technical problem, and they just couldn't figure it out, and they're contacting NASA to tell them what they should do. They had to they just couldn't move. They saw something appear. They saw something move past their window, and when this thing went by, it was very close to the craft, and then it vanished. And when it vanished, the controls started to move again. And it is thought that, either it was because this UFO was so close that it may have disabled things, or most of them felt like it was because they were there that they were able to move, that they somehow helped them to restore their ability to fly the craft.
And as you can see, mysteries of the moon, always eternally fascinating. You never know what we can expect from that other place up there. We've got more to come with Constance, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the Legal Helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Constance, you have an entry about Otto Binder. Remember him? You identify him as a former NASA employee and author, but there's more about him that's kind of fun you might want to consider if you do a new edition of the book. Otto was a continuity writer, not for Marvel Comics, but for Captain Marvel, the character now known as Shazam. He was originally known as Captain Marvel, and Otto wrote the continuity in the comic book. In addition, in 1959, for what we now call DC, then called Detective Comics, he created a new superhero character named Supergirl, the cousin of Superman. That's Otto Binder. Somebody I knew. Slightly in those years, and it's kind of fun to talk about him, and I thought it'd be nice to clarify his connection there. He also did a magazine called, I think it was called Space World, that Ray Palmer eventually took over. He wrote about UFOs. He wrote a couple of books about UFOs and articles, so he was really, really involved in the field, and it's nice to look at that and explore it. And as I said, just his connection to the comic books. Okay. Yeah. In fact, he wrote about a character that Captain Marvel, you know, what Billy Batson says Shazam becomes Captain Marvel then.
Right, right.
Where he was fighting a villain called the Scorpion. And when they made the movie Republic Pictures, The Adventures of Captain Marvel, it was based on what Otto Binder created. Quite often we also talk about Martian mysteries, the face on Mars, all these other strange things. Have you considered any coordination between Martian mysteries and lunar mysteries?
You know, the Martian mysteries are something that I am beginning to delve in a little further. I've always suspected that the Moon and Mars and Earth had something in common as far as the ancient astronauts go. I sort of feel like I don't know, I haven't found it yet. You know, I'm looking at these pictures coming in all the time, and it looks like there's a whole lot of interesting things going on up there, from, you know, buildings that look like they were blown up to craft that look like they fell apart, to what looks like could even be, you know, creatures and people. There's so much going on. But I'm wondering if there's a connection. You know, there is thought behind the Moon itself having had a war up there with whatever beings that may have been there, if they're still there. And I just wonder sometimes if it is connected to Mars somehow, but still trying to put it together.
Well, we have one guest who's been on the show a few times. He wrote in his books about the possibility that many, many moons ago, there was a nuclear war on Mars.
Yeah, see? I mean, have you seen the images coming in? It looks like there was something happened. And, you know, there's a very interesting story about there being an Atlantean connection to the moon. And I wonder if it was connected to Mars as well. There's a thought behind, I believe Atlantis existed, but that's a whole other show. But I think that, so the story is that Atlantis had the technology to fly and to go into space, and that that the moon may have been actually a part of its civilization, and they can go back and forth, and that somehow there, I don't know what happened, but that there was a war that broke out, and that is why we're seeing pieces of buildings up there. That, you know, it looks like an explosion. And then I've looked into years ago just some regression, past life regressions and things that people said, you know, they were from the Mars and that there, something had happened there. And so, yeah, I just feel like there was some sort of war, and I think Earth had something to do with it too.
I just want to mention another character mentioned in the book is Ivan T. Sanderson. Ivan's been gone for many years. He died in 1973, the age of, I guess, 61. We have an interview he did with our staff announcer, Bob Zanotti, on a radio show called Coffee Klatch from the mid-1960s. And sometime real soon, I'm going to fish up that interview and present it to listeners of the PowerCast Plus, Ivan Sanderson, a fascinating guy, fascinating stories. So I'm really glad to find that you mentioned him in the book. It would really be fun to actually physically talk about it. Another thing you talk about is something called Stargate, but that is not the movie Stargate.
I love this one. So, yeah, I would love to know where Stargates are. I believe they're all over the place, and I believe that we have some right here on Earth. But anyway, this one is on the moon. So I believe that, you know, a Stargate, of course, is as we know, a portal to other worlds. And so the astronauts that were a part of one of the missions took photos of what looks to be a Stargate. And Michael, I'm not sure how to say his last name, and I really like his work, but I think it's Sala, that's how you pronounce it.
Michael Sala? All right,
yeah.
Stop right there. Let me just tell you, no. Michael, you don't want to know about Michael Sala.
Okay,
don't want to know about him. Okay. All right, just to let you know, forget about him. There are lots of good stories. Michael Sala is not the guy to tell it. Go ahead.
Okay, but I love that he called, looked at that photo and said, oh, it looks like a space portal. I'm like, oh, it does. It really does. It's just this odd light that's in this photograph. It's kind of bluish, and it does have, you know, this kind of halo glow around it. And that, it's an anomaly, of course, but that's what it looks like. So that was just a kind of a fun thing to put in there. But you can go on to the website and see that. See that. But, yeah.
One of the other things that you've got here in your talking points, which could be kind of interesting to cover, is the question of whether or not we're being watched from the moon. And so, yeah, I thought, okay, well, I wondered if there was still some cameras up there. And I guess the moon landing from the Apollo, there's actually 12 Hasselblad cameras that they left on the moon. Mm-hmm. They're still there. So for whoever might want to go and get them, I mean, there's some collector's items. But you probably mean something else. So tell us what you mean by, is Earth being watched from the moon?
Well, you know, honestly, oh my God, I hope I can keep track of all these thoughts. Honestly, all of these Apollo missions were followed by something. Someone's watching Earth. Someone's watching, I feel, the fact that we are advancing. It looked like, from listening to the stories, there was someone waiting, following and waiting on the moon. I mean, there's more stories to the astronauts up there. There were a couple that were, you know, something flew past them while they were on the surface. You know, lights have been seen up there. So I'm just wondering if we're being watched, if our technology is being watched, you know, to see how far we get. Now, they may be, you know, maybe a Star Trek kind of situation where they want to see how far we get into space before they make themselves known. Or it could be a Noah's Ark situation, as we talked about before, where they actually sent, they did come in and they sent some of their people here and they're watching them. Or, you know, maybe there's something, you know, more sinister going on and they're watching us for whatever reason. But the idea is that, you know, there may be beings that are keeping an eye on Earth. I did a show once with a gentleman who made me really think. He said, every time I've ever looked at the moon in my life, I always felt like we were being watched, you know, like with a big eye. And, you know, what if we are? What if most of the UFOs that we're seeing here are coming from the moon? You know, and they're saying that on Earth, in the military, you know, in different governments, and especially us, there have been UFOs sort of hanging around. For what reason? To see where, to see our advancement? Are they watching us to see our advancement?
Possibly. I mean, I have a hard time with the spaceship moon hypothesis because of, there's just been too many other scientific data sets that just kind of go against that idea, but it's a fun one to imagine. But
let's just see. Forget the spaceship moon theory. Let's just say that they came in. Let's just say that maybe this is a stopover for, you know, point. That's another theory. That right. Maybe it's a stopover for, you know, ETs for moving into a portal before they go or whatever. Or maybe they discovered the moon and they're there.
You know what, Jordan? What we have now, more to come with Constance, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.